In the first reading and in the psalm, we have our first intimation of our Lord's interior as he approaches his passion. Let's contrive a plot against Jeremiah. And this is so typical. You know, we'll still get instruction from the priests and counsel from the wise and messages from the prophets. Maybe, but they'll all be at a dramatic markdown. Abon marché, the French would say. You know, it's bargain basement instruction. It's bargain basement prophecy. It's not full. And so then he prays. Now this is the Lord, remember. Heed me, O Lord, and listen to what my adversaries say. Must good be repaid with evil, that they should dig a pit to take my life? Remember, I stood before you to speak on their behalf and to turn your wrath away from them. That's a tiny glimpse into the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ as it's being lived by Jeremiah. And when the prophet who wrote the servant songs wrote them, the model he had in mind was Jeremiah. Save me from the snare they set for me, for you are my refuge. Try to imagine this kind of suffering. The Lord has come. He's healed, he's preached, he's loved, he's forgiven. And this is what he's getting in return. And I hear the whispers of the crowd that frighten me on every side. As they consult together against me, plotting to take my life. This is from Psalm 31, you see. But my trust is in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and persecutors. Then we have a prediction of the Passion in the Gospel. Now, it's characteristic of the Gospels that they have a prediction of the Passion followed by a totally inept response. That's why they don't get it. That's why we don't get it. So, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day. Then the Jewish mother, let my two boys sit at your right and your left. You'll notice all the time in the Gospels that after the prediction of the Passion, there comes an utterly inept response. It's to warn us. The first prediction of the Passion is followed by Peter's, far be it from you, Lord. And Jesus says to one of his best friends, get out of my way, Satan. Because you're thinking like man and not like God. When we wonder why we don't get the Passion, we don't want it. Can't imagine, Jesus, all these things happen to you. This time it's something else, ambition. And it's only Matthew who says that their mom came. The other Gospels, they come themselves. We want to sit at your right and your left in your kingdom. What kind of a kingdom do you think I'm going to have? In other words, the Gospels do this so that when you say to yourself, I don't get it. I don't understand the Lord's suffering. Do you think it's unfitting? Do you want to be first? You know, there's reasons why we don't get it. Because we're not like Jesus. And so you have this. And then, can you drink? Yeah. Okay. And they do. See, after the cross and the resurrection and Pentecost, these guys are different. And that can happen to us. And that's what Lent is all about. So that as we live through it and celebrate the resurrection, we can be different. Not afraid of suffering. Getting the picture. Wanting to be one with Jesus. So you can see how the church is educating us. Huh? This is the second of these passion predictions. And you'll notice they're always followed in the Synoptic Gospels. There are no such prophecies in John. By this inept response. They don't get it. Why? First one, afraid of suffering. Second one, want to be big shots. It's a lesson, isn't it? How do we understand the passion? How do we want to be there with Jesus? Pure work of the Holy Spirit.